Among my friends, the following possibilities are not outcounted. That Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with this. That it could have been anyone, including U.S. citizens. That there was failure of communications between Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, the Federal Aviation Agency, and the World Financial Centers in Manhattan, and that we, my friends, may never know what happened because there is ample opportunity for U.S. government power to reconstitute evidence to tell whatever story advances their own agenda. We are expected to go on with it. Our lives, the engine of the economy, urban dwelling, keeping our friends' businesses afloat, shelving our grief. We are drowning in information and disinformation, totally unconfident in the verity or trustworthiness of what we read, hear, or see. Older men and women and children in our communities are already parroting rumors we know to be false, yet we cannot refute them without arguing with our elders. And that is uncouth in a time of grief. We are a city dazed. Le grand grotesque, macabre burlesque, the sick jingo. American flags cut into Klansmen's robes would at least remind white America what it could become, backward-looking. Nostalgia has become whitewashing. Profiling people as evil, less ugly or handicapped in this place of a million eyes, eyes upon eyes that watch and watch and watch and stare and record every action, every move, with running commentary of those who would dare to say what is not American. What is American? The illness continues among nations as among religions. Pomp and grieving in public, parading crocodile tears beside real horror and pain, the very real, the surreal, and the hyper-real are all made one in boiling steel, and in the vicious, vengeful eyes of the racist, ignorant, soulless fool who has never known war, real hell. Real hell is the stories of the survivors on the losing side. Ask the Iraqis, the Afghanis, the Kosovar. During this crisis, as many turned to drugs, narcotics, alcohol, and nicotine, as turned to their God, or more. But for the Muslims and the devout ascetics who stopped drinking. Grief ranged from tiny creeks of interminable length, turning in the maddening darkness atypically silent in New York, to wailing and heaving of the form into the bed, into the sofa, into the walls. A white glow from the work lights bathes the thin cloud of dust over lower Manhattan, accentuating the sickening void, the absence that leads to a path of thinking of why and having to replay the mental image of those dreadful television broadcasts. City election primary held, runoff due, schools reconvened, businesses running, many running scared and nervous. Students trying to create some normality, attempt to put Manhattan into the semester format, midterms soon due, there's a hole and a massive pile of rubble downtown, normality and madness walk hand in hand down the middle of Broadway. Library full, publishers active, artists, performers, writers, editors, and entertainment, communications, and fashion sectors all scrambling. Some faring better than others, not because of content, but sheer volume. There is much grieving among labor. City services and its employees have been stalwart throughout, but heavy hearts are apparent in the faces of many. The economy worsens.